The following presentation, Connecting Durham University to the World, was given by Leighton Kitson of Durham University at Net Workshop 42 in April 2014.
Completely different topic now, really, as I'd now like to hand over to Leighton Kitson from Durham, who's going to tell us a little about providing broadcast contributions to news media. Leighton is the Media Relations Officer for Durham University. He has an extensive background as chief reporter in local and regional newspapers. He's worked with Reg Vardy, which we won't hold against you, and Durham County Council. So I think with no further ado, I'll hand over to you. So, pull up your slides.
Morning, everybody. As Mark said, I'm not a technical person, so if you've got any technical questions at the end, I'll take them away and hand them over to our IT people. As you can tell from the title of my talk, I'm actually a media relations PR person. That's why it's got a fancy title. But effectively, what that means is I'm going to talk you through our experience of the Janet Globelinks TV trial, which we now have as a permanent feature at the university. But to sort of talk you through it first, I thought I'd give you a little bit of context if any of you don't know Durham. We're about an hour and 10 minutes up the A1 from here in the northeast. 15,000 students, 3,000 staff. As you can see, a fair percentage of those come from overseas. And depending on which rankings you look at, but according to the current ones, we're a top five UK university and a world top 100 university. And ambition of the university is to be a world top 50 university by 2020. That's written into the strategy. And one of the ways that we're supporting that is to try and help raise awareness of the university's research and the university's research profile, both in the UK, but particularly with academics and students overseas as well, because they feed into the world rankings. And of course, media is one way in which a university can help raise its research profile, and particularly broadcast media. So there were three reasons that we decided to get involved in the trial. The first one, obviously, was to raise the university's research profile. The second one's quite important, bring us closer to broadcasters. And what that means is, we're in Durham. The main broadcasters in this country are about 250 miles away in London. And if you watch the news, you'll see talking heads giving their expert opinion on whatever the day's events are. And they tend to be from London-based universities just because they're on the doorstep. So we wanted to try and overcome that obstacle. The other thing was our nearest BBC and ITV studios are in Newcastle, which is only about 15 miles up the road from us. But given the traffic on the A1, it can take you anything from up to an hour or hour and a half to get there. And the same coming back, which is a big chunk out of our academics' time if they wanted to go and do interviews. And then the final thing was we wanted to explore how we could use video to update our web content. So the initial phase and the first thing was really important from my point of view as a non-technical person was to get our IT and telecoms people engaged in this straight away. And basically they liaised with Globelinks, who are the TV provider and all the technical aspects of setting up the camera. So setting up an IP address for it, installing a coax cable. Some of you will know what that is. I've got no idea at all. And making sure that technically we were able to support the system. But I think one of the great advantages of this is that the feed runs through the internet, through the Janet network. So that was a big advantage to us. Globelinks installed the TV camera and lighting in July and provided me with about 2 hours training on how to use it, which doesn't sound a lot, but actually it's quite a simple system to use. So what I've been able to do then is devise a program where I've sort of trained other people in my team to use it so that we can all take turns depending on who's on shift or who's on holiday, what have you. And then we needed to advertise it, and we did that through a couple of ways. One was we have our own list of broadcast contacts, so basically we set out what facilities we had available, what experts we had to talk, and we sent that out as a mass distribution list to broadcasters and followed it up with phone calls. GlobeLinks themselves have links to about 400 broadcasters, and they sent it out to them too. And also, there's an online database that all of our experts are entered on, which is effectively a search engine for broadcasters. So if they're looking for an expert on energy, they type it in, up come all the people at Durham who can talk about energy. And then I'll come on to it a bit later, but that's how they make their bookings as well. Trial ran August to September, roughly, and we averaged about two or three interviews a week, almost from the start. In fact, it did work instantly. It was installed on the Thursday, and our first interview was with Sky News on the Saturday morning, which meant me coming in on a Saturday, but you know, showed that it worked. Just quickly talk about backdrop. We took advice from GlobeLinks on what the backdrop should look like, and we've gone for the old Football Manager repeat logo backdrop. The reason for that is no matter how the shot is cut, then Durham University will get a credit when it's seen on screen. And that's important because sometimes, not for any particular reason, broadcasters might say, in this instance, Professor Sarah Curtis, Professor of Geography, joins us now, but doesn't say where Sarah is from or what part of the university she represents. So at least that way, a viewer, or if they're looking at the screen in the gym, they can see that that's someone from Durham University. The blue background apparently is quite a good colour choice. Broadcasters seem to like that. You can see our corporate colours are actually that sort of purple colour in the bottom corner there where the shield is. That didn't look good at all. And if we need to, we can alter the background either by shifting the camera angle or technically a superb piece of equipment. It's Velcroed to the wall, so you can just take it down if you want to. And that's what it looks like when it appears on screen. So that was Sarah talking to Sky News about the floods in Somerset earlier this year. And like I said, it's quite a simple system to use. Basically, a broadcaster will get in touch with us and find out if the expert is available. If they are, then they make the booking via the GlobeLinks database, which then emails a notification to us and to the broadcaster about what time, contact details for us and for them, including the technical people at the broadcaster's end as well. And then you have to make sure you get your academic to the camera on time, which can be a challenge sometimes. I recommend getting them there about 15 minutes beforehand. And it's very simple to set up. Like, they can either sit or stand. It's a clip-on mic and earpiece so that they can hear the producer and they can hear them. And then you use a joystick to control the cue ball camera. And that also controls the focus and the white balance, and that's it, basically. You've got your shot set up. The broadcaster phones the camera unit, it answers it automatically, and then you're connected. If anything goes wrong, then GlobeLinks offer 24-hour technical support, and we've chosen to always staff the interviews. The idea is that perhaps academics could do the interviews on their own, but it's a nerve-wracking experience enough going on live television without having to think about how you clip the mic on and set up the camera. And I'm just going to very quickly play. This is a long video, but I'll only play you a few minutes.
Russian foreign minister's comment that exactly the Iran nuclear deal quashes the reasons for America to build a missile defense shield in Eastern Europe. Russia is long regarded the radar as a national security threat, but the US thinks it's necessary to protect against so-called rogue states like Iran. With us now is Anoush Etishami, a professor of international relations and head of the School of Government and International Affairs at Durham University. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. What are the chances, do you think, of the United States scrapping its European missile defence plan if the deal with Iran proves successful?
I think we are a long way from that one. Frankly, I think we're a long way from a deal with Iran becoming permanent as well. I think the best we can hope for so is for these to go in some sequence. To be honest, I think Iran was used as a bit of a, if you like, you know, an obvious choice to justify missile defense in Europe. Without Iran, there may be other reasons for the United States to pursue that option, but Iran was a particular case in point.
And as you can see, we've had it about 6 months, and that's just a sort of a sample of the media who we've worked with using the system. You can see there are international media there, like Al Jazeera, Russia Today, CBS, the main British broadcasters, and also importantly for us, Press Association and Reuters, Newswires, who are increasingly taking video and then distributing that as packages to newspapers to use on their websites. And thankfully, they've only been very minor teething problems. We had quite a lengthy sound delay once on a pre-recorded interview, but luckily it was a pre-record, and it turned out the problem was at the broadcaster's end. I don't know what switch they hadn't pressed, but basically they hadn't pressed it. We did have one instance where we had someone on Sky News and the satellite slot timed out. That's because you get given a very specific booking and it's to the second. And if the broadcaster comes to you late, it's their responsibility to update that booking so that the slot doesn't time out. And again, not a very technical solution, but the lighting was too bright in the room originally, so we basically took the light out, took the main strip light out of the room. And like I say, we've always got Globelinks on hand to give us technical support. And then next steps, basically we've had recording software installed, which is connected to the camera, and we're going to use that to record interviews of academics talking about their research, which we'll edit ourselves, hoping to increase video content on the web, as I said earlier, and also enhance some of the media packages that we give out to our contacts in the media. And then a really useful thing that it's used for, we can use the camera for as well, is media training. That's either Globelinks will do down the line interviews with people who haven't done them before, or we're going to use the camera to put people through their paces when they're preparing for broadcast interviews. And that's it. If you have any questions.
Chris Chalk from Cambridge University. So, how much did it cost the university to do all this?
Well, the actual trial itself was free, which is why we jumped at it. Never look a gift horse in the mouth. But it worked so well for us that, and what we were going to do is we were going to build a business case basically using the trial. But in effect, we didn't have to because the senior management was so pleased with how it went, they just said, go ahead. So there are two packages that you can go for. One is a one-off purchase, which I think is around £50,000. The one that we've gone for is more of a sort of a hire agreement. It's a three-year deal, and we pay £35,000 a year for that. That includes all of the maintenance. If anything technical goes wrong, Globelinks will fix that. But we think, given the sort of reach it's helped us with, that it's been a good investment so far.
Just to add to that, Globelinks is one of the more expensive solutions. There's lots of different ways of doing this. Globelinks is quite expensive because you get a pretty much plug-and-play piece of equipment that turns up in a box. You can buy H.264 IP encoders and your own camera and pretty much deliver exactly the same stuff to Globelinks and sign up without actually hiring their equipment.
You can,
so it can be cheap.
We didn't have any of those facilities. I think York have this now, but they do have their own camera, and so I think it was just a case of getting a sort of
the encoder,
yeah, from their point of view. So it can vary.
One last question, if anyone has anything. No, in which case, thank you again to Leighton.
Thank you.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.